Call this meeting of the House State Affairs order. It's 8:07 on the 1st of August. And we have before us today House Bill 3005, and we have with us present are Representative Elkins, Representative Gardner, Representative Lynn, Representative Gatto, myself, Chair Seaton, and online, I believe, we have Representative Gruenberg. Representative Gruenberg, are you out there?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Oh, very good. And we have with us also, join us here in Representative Gruenberg's seat, is Representative Newman. Let's see, before we go any further, you'll see several packets of materials. And Representative Gruenberg, those were emailed to you. So if you have got your, if you've gotten those, if you haven't, you might want to have those downloaded. We also have a chart that just came in, looking at different rates and all, and we'll try to get a copy of that online so that it's viewable. And that's just being distributed now. So at our last meeting, we looked at House Bill 3005. We looked at what that meant as far as going back to, we just considered the dates January through May to get an accounting of what those, that progressivity feature. Again, that was at 0.35% per dollar or 3.5% per $10 above a West Texas intermediate price of $50. And then that capped out at $150 WTI index. The tax, again, was not applied to the index. The tax was actually applied to the wellhead value. So we have with us several other things here. First of all, does anybody have any questions on the bill itself that have developed? Representative Lynn?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know we discussed this before, but I thought it might be good to at least clear up in my mind. We have various proposals before us in the legislature on the PPT. And some new potential compromises that were being discussed today in the Finance Committee might make it to the floor. And I'm wondering, could you explain to us again, assuming that one of these other packages comes together, how would this bill, 3005, link in with those bills? Is it different? Is it an adjunct to it? How does that, how does it work? How does, would this mesh together?
yes, thank you, Representative Lynn. Yes, House Bill 3005 is just looking at the progressivity element of a comprehensive tax bill. It is put together for one reason, and that is if it appears that the legislature is having problems coming to a consensus on a total, complete rewrite of the tax package, whether that's on net or gross or however that is, we could look at this at least going back to, as the bill says, the April date, to recover part of the value that has been realized just from high prices. This bill does not change ELF. It does not change the current 15% tax rate. So what we've looked at here is a progressivity element alone. Now, this bill could be incorporated in, or the concepts that we've put forward here could be incorporated in either a net or a gross tax if that was desirable. The analysis is here anyway for these levels of tax. As you'll remember, the progressivity feature, and we do have a big packet, and we may as well probably go to that next, of the progressive the compilation of all the progressivities that have come through the legislature. So you can see that progressivity can either be on the gross or on the net, and it's an independent tax, an independent assessment, regardless of whether the base tax rate is on net or gross. So the purpose of this is not to supplant or to supersede or to in any way curtail the discussions that are going on right now. This is a fallback position if the legislature chooses to use it, if we are not able to agree. I think we all hope that we can come to a consensus and agree on a comprehensive rewrite in the special session timeline that we're dealing with and everything else. That may be difficult. And if it becomes too difficult, this gives us a way to at least go back and recover some of the value from the high oil prices, that is above $50.
Thank you.
Does that answer additionally there?
I think it needs to be cleared up a little bit, I think, sure. Not only for me, but for a lot of other people.
I appreciate that, and thank you for the question there. If the committee would take a look at the packet that is labeled progressivity schemes, we talked last time about asking what had been proposed through the legislature. And so here we have a packet, and as you'll see, committee substitute for House Bill 488 resources was $50 a barrel WTI at 3/10 minus 50. So that, and it capped at at $110, it jumped to the 37.5%. Now remember, when this bill was there, it was deducted against the net tax. So we were talking about a net tax scheme, and this is a gross. So what it was that when it capped at 37.5, you combined that with the 22.5 that we had at that time, and that equaled the 50% net split. And all of the bills have so far that have come out have incorporated that cap, so that as an escalation goes, there's a point at which the escalation would not proceed any further, because, you know, if for some reason there was tragedy in the world and oil prices went to $400, $500 a barrel for a month, if the progressivity went up unlimited at some point, you'd capture all of the revenue of the oil, and that's not the point of the progressivity. So it's to capture a fair value of the upside of the extreme high oil prices. Then you can see that Senate Bill 305 resources had $40 a barrel as starting point, and it was at 0.2 ANS. And then, you know, there were various multipliers along the way. And then what has generally been in the House is the House Committee substitute for CSSB 305 Finance, and Finance went to a net tax, and that's the fourth box down there, of $35 a barrel, and that's on the net, and at the 0.25. You notice that doesn't say 0.25%, so the 0.25% or 0.0025 is the same number. And for some of us, it's just easier to think of the percent and multiply it times $10 to know what that increment would be for $10. So anyway, we go on down. The 2001, the Senate bill had a $35 again net, which roughly corresponds to $50 WTI. The gross $50 WTI and $35 net. And they had a 0.1% per dollar increase. And then you can just see where we are. And then we came down to the House Committee substitute. This was the Oh, yeah, that was Finance Committee, 0.175, and then the floor amendment took it to, again, 35 at 0.25. And on the second page, you'll see the Conference Committee, $35 at 0.175. That was the Conference Committee trying to align between our 0.25 and the Senate's 0.1. Senate Bill 3003 has $50 a barrel gross value at the point of production. So that's a little different than the WTI, and it capped at $100 per barrel. And that equaled 25%. But of course, that bill also rewrote the ELF bill so that basically you were getting more from the production tax than the lower part. Senator Wagner's draft bill that has been introduced, which I don't have the number on that, is $40 a barrel at 0.3. And this bill is $50 a barrel WTI, back to the kind of the thing that the original resources bill had, and minus 50, $50 start, and capping at 150, which gave us the surcharge of capping at 35%, and that would combine with the current production tax, although it's not being collected, but the current production rate of 15% would equal that 50%. And the rest of the things in here are recaps of those actual languages. And then if you look at the last four or five pages of that, you'll see there's the March 13th analysis by Barry Pulliam and Dr. Tony Finizza of Econ 1. And on the second page there, you can see that the assumption that was being proposed there was $0.25 per dollar over $45 a barrel WTI. Sliding scale and graph. And of course, last time we had the, you have in your packet the proposal that came from Pedro Van Meers, and it was at, let me find it here, in that original packet we had, it was his option two was analyzed at WTI minus 50 at, again, 0.25%. And of course, that those were in conjunction with a rewrite, and what we've got here is if we have a standalone bill, not modifying the lower tax. So does anybody want any additional information on what the history of progressivity was here in the legislature?
We voted on the floor on the conference committee report that tried to reach the 22 point, I can't remember what that was, 22.6?
22.8 and 0.175 progressivity.
Now, was that in regular or special session? It's kind of becoming
regular
together now.
That was regular.
And so that's not, that wasn't one of these. I thought it was regular, yeah, too. Yeah.
Came back in conference committee.
Yeah.
And we didn't concur.
That was last special session. That was the last special session.
Yeah, that was the last special session. In the first special session, in the regular session, the Senate failed to concur with our bill. And then we came back in the first special session, and we had, that was in the first special session when there was a conference committee and the House failed to concur. But during the regular session, the Senate failed to concur with the bill that we sent over. And what we sent over had a 0.25% progressivity at $35 a barrel net.
I remember that.
And we've been joined by Representative Ramirez.
Sorry. Momentarily.
Good morning. Welcome. I don't know if Dr. Mamnier is calling in or not. There was a question being asked, and he hasn't signed up to testify. He was invited. He's been busy with many other things as well. Are there any other questions on the progressivity elements or discussion on them? Okay. Let's see. Before we go on, maybe we can ask the administration to come up. They've provided us with a chart here. Make sure everybody has that.
This one?
Yes, with the yellow base on it. Good morning.
Good morning.
And would you go ahead and identify yourself for the record here?
Yes, my name is Sherry Nienheis. I'm a petroleum economist with the Department of Revenue. And what I provided for you last committee hearing, it was asked that we provide some guidance on how much the actual tax amount would be at various prices and at various progressive surcharge rates, because there was some interest in not just sticking with the 0.35, but looking at a quarter of those percentage increments. So the matrix you have before you shows ANS prices beginning at $50, so that equates basically to a $52 WTI. It's been sort of the historical differential. Of course, that changes sometimes, so that's not absolute, but that's generally the range that the differential is between ANS and WTI. And then you also see the various progressive surcharge rates, and again, the 0.35 is actually the fifth over from the right. So I went all the way down to 0.175% and as high as 0.45%. And what you see below there is the actual percentages of the tax with those various prices and various progressive surcharge rates. And it was also asked that I show where basically the point or the 35% cutoff rate was. So I don't know if you have a color copy or a black and white, but basically there's some shading on the bottom half that shows where you go over that 35% range of tax rate. So that's basically it. I know there was some interest in, you know, possibly playing with that rate, and you know, you weren't sure where you wanted it to be, and so that might provide some guidance.
Well, thank you, and this is very, very helpful. I'm glad you went ahead and calculated the percentages beyond, but the bill that we've got it right now before us would mean that everything, no matter which column it would be, when you got to the yellow, that would stay at 35% in the bill. It wouldn't be like if you went over to the last column and you see it's 90.9% at $250 a barrel. That would not take place under the bill that we've got. What we have is it would be capped at 35% at the top of the shaded line. And that this is very interesting because it's an easy way, and I appreciate this, Sherry, that you can see where it caps out at the equal share in the taxes, in the production tax. Representative Gatto.
Yeah, thanks. Sherry, the historical change of $2 between ours and theirs, if we start producing heavy oil, that would be a significantly greater differential. And so we don't know if $2 becomes $6, $7, $8, but would that... And I know it muddies the water, but is there a comment that we would say that, yes, we have considered that, and we're going to have to address it later because we don't know now, or is there some consideration of it now?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, yeah, you're correct. This is the current situation without a whole lot of heavy oil in the percentage that we do have in our current mix. And theoretically, as we start producing more heavy oil, that differential could become greater. A lot has to do with, you know, what the benchmark is as well. So, you know, it's hard to say whether or not that benchmark will change in conjunction with our change. And I guess the alternative for you would be to base it on ANS price, and I have seen most of the bills coming out of committee being based on ANS price, and so that might be a little safer as far as on down the road. I don't know. I can't provide comment on which one you'd want to choose, but I just know that most of the bills have gone with ANS, and so it's really a policy call what you want to do.
did you want to follow up on that at all?
No, I'm good.
Okay. And I think the only difference would, am I correct in that the difference would be if the mix of heavy oil and light oil was less valuable? I mean, it has nothing to do with the costs, because that would be upstream costs and those kind of considerations. But the difference between WTI and ANS would just depend on what variety of oil, or whether the market downgrades oil that has more heavy oil in. Is that correct?
Correct, Representative Seaton. You're exactly right. Basically, the value of the basket of oil per se is based on the actual value of the oil, and if you have heavy oil, that would also that would presumably bring down the value. Now, we've seen actually recently, I don't have figures from last week, but over the past month, that differential has actually come down somewhat to more like $1.80, $1.60. So it, you know, it's not exactly predictable. It could change over time, but theoretically, the differential is based on the value of the oil, and of course, the heavy oil would be valued less at this point in time.
And if we have more gas liquids injected as oil into the pipeline, does that change the mixture as well?
Honestly, I don't. I'm not sure. I don't believe it does, but I don't know that for sure. And I could certainly ask about that and find out for you if you'd like to know.
Okay. It would be good to find out, because I imagine when we're putting heavy oil in there, it's got one component, and the more gas liquids that we put in there, it's probably going to change us the other way. Representative Gutter.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just a question. I don't know if you're the right person, but does heavy oil have more BTUs per unit than oil? And so it becomes, at some point, I'm sorry, so at some point it actually can have more cost to produce, but more BTUs. And are we selling BTUs, or are we selling units?
Representative Gatto, through the chair, you're right. Maybe I'm not the right person.
But we do have people behind you.
Exactly. Yes, and maybe someone else can answer that for you. My understanding is that the heavy oil just it has more components that need to be removed from the oil, and therefore it's the processing is more expensive. The value of what you are left with is decreased. It's not the premium gas or oil, excuse me. I think in terms of when you pull up to a gas station and you're at, you know, you see you have regular unleaded and you have premium, you have super premium, and that's kind of the way I look at heavy oil. Is it's probably the lowest of the three, if there is such a mix. So there may be somebody that can answer that.
And I apologize for the question. I just, you know, it's one of those things, is there's so much sand in there that we have to, by the time we take out all the sand, there's so much less oil. Plus it's cold, it's heavy, but maybe it has more BTUs. And I just wanted to process this for myself to say, before I start criticizing heavy oil, and maybe know a little more technologically about what it is.
And maybe if we have somebody that can answer,
sure,
that, because I think that we're probably being pretty careful about putting sand down the pipeline and eroding it. So I think, you know, we have more asphalt mixture and that kind of possibly. Jerry, are you the person that
That's what
is
I was
the?
Thinking. You were nodding.
We're not, but it's much more complicated than even.
That's fine. And that was Jerry Burnett saying that he'd wait for. Rather put that off to a real expert on petroleum chemistry, I believe. Is that? Yeah. So are there any other questions on that? Does everybody understand the chart? And we really appreciate that. Sherry, do you have any other information while you're there that you'd like to share with us on this?
No, this is the only thing I put together so far. I guess I would need to look at the amendments to see what kind of impact that would have. I don't know exactly what you have here.
Sure.
If you do want any kind of comparisons, just let me know. I'm available to do whatever modeling you need. I understand you also have Econ 1, so you know, between us, hopefully we can satisfy your needs on this.
Great, and thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Yes, Representative Gatto.
In the simplest form, take everything highlighted in yellow and change it to 35. Okay.
Any other questions on that? We have a couple other things before us, and I'd like to move on to the question. You have a, and this is a draft memorandum, you know, from House State Affairs, and it says that there's two amendments here that are attached, and those two amendments deal with 185 exploration credits and the heavy oil credits that were talked about in the bill. And I was hoping the committee would take a look at these and would see if they would like to recommend that if this is a vehicle going forward that the Finance Committee should look at these amendments. They are tailored to this bill, so they're all conforming. However, the and the purpose for this is really twofold. One is that we've heard a lot of concern about heavy oil, and if the lower tax rates are or changes are not made, there's nothing in there to indicate to industry, the world, ourselves, that we are concerned about investment in heavy oil. And the 185 credits are the exploration credits where you have to be over 3 miles away from another well. And all the bills that we've sent forward have extended those credits for 10 years. And so I wanted to bring this to the committee's attention, not wanting to complicate the bill by incorporating it at this time, but since we could have these for finance if that point becomes where we are, then if this was incorporated with, if our bill or the structure of our bill was incorporated with another tax rewrite, it's already going to have some provisions on heavy oil and credits and exploration credits in there, so it would complicate the bill and need to be pulled out. If it would be a standalone backup position, then I'd like the committee to consider whether they want to forward these to finance for consideration, so that the bill also not only raises taxes but also extends those credits. And so that's what's before the committee here. These are the same, the one, like I say, the 185 amendment there, the amendment that says that would be G, 3 for exploration expenditure. That has been incorporated in the bills we have passed previously, and it's just pulled out and made to conform to this bill in case it goes forward as a single item. The other bill is, again, the same thing for challenged oil pools that we passed. Out of resources and went to finance, and it has the feature of also having the $50. Actually, it's $50 ANS, but what it does is it says that we guarantee that the price will be $50 a barrel or above, and if it's not, we'll give you a 15% credit on the on your expenditures for heavy oil. Therefore, the oil companies are guaranteed that it's either going to be $50, in which they know these things are economic and profitable for sanctioning their projects, or we'll give them 15% credit. And that is, there's a 10-year window on that, and if that's the average price over the 10 years was above 50, they owe us the credits back. If not, then we've paid the credit to incentivize that production. So this has already been heard and passed out, but I just wanted to make sure that everybody, I'm not sure everybody was on resources or on finance that heard these amendments. So I wanted to go over with the committee and see whether they wanted to send those to the Finance Committee with their attention in case this becomes a standalone bill. Does anybody wish to comment on that? Yes, Representative Gatto.
I have talked to some of the senators about this, and I thought I would get this OG, but I didn't. They said, no, that's That's an excellent idea. So there is some support.
Representative Newman?
Yeah, Representative Seaton, thank you. Just looking at this, I think the more tools that we can add to the toolbox is a good thing, but again, as a standalone, even if we don't get further movement on any PPT or anything like that, I think this is a good idea. But I like the fact that it also extends to the credit part, the oils, and you've thought about that. It looks like you've put a lot of time into this. Certainly understand the topic. I just think it looks like I think something that's worthwhile to pass on.
Thank you. Anyone else? Do we have a first of all, let me ask, is there objections to passing the bill when we get there? Okay. Then what I'd like to do, can I have a motion to send these amendments and the cover letter to the Finance Committee with when we send the bill? Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Gardner and then Representative Groenberg.
Mr. Chair, would you explain to us again, and maybe you've done this and I didn't quite follow it, what the value is of not passing the amendments and sending the bill on with both amendments as part of it incorporated?
The idea, Representative Gardner, is we have a very simple progressivity bill that could be incorporated with any other tax changes. If we incorporate these two amendments into the bill, it becomes more complicated, and any other bill that has been going forward is going to incorporate, you know, the credit portions, and then we would have to be pulling things out and adding them back in.
Okay, thank you.
So, do I have a motion to...
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gatto, question? Oh, wait a minute, we have Representative Groenberg and then Gatto.
I'm laboring at somewhat of a disadvantage. I'm calling you from my house. I don't have any of the documents. I can follow along with what you're saying with one exception. You say that you also want to send along a cover letter. Do you have a draft of that cover letter there?
Yes, I do.
Would you either synopsize it or read it so I can understand what the cover letter says?
Sure. Attached to this memorandum are two amendments that were reviewed by the House State Affairs Committee. The First Amendment provides fiscal incentives for companies to develop their heavy oil resources. This amendment is based upon the concept presented in House Bill 498, sponsored by Representative Roekberg during the regular session and worked on extensively by House Resources Committee. The Second Amendment provides for an extension of the 185 exploration credits, included in nearly every version of the PPT legislation to date. These amendments were not adopted by House State Affairs Committee, as an effort was made to keep HB 3005 as straightforward as possible. However, the amendments are being passed along with HB 3005 in the event that a more complete PPT package does not appear likely to emerge during the special session. The House State Affairs Committee believes that heavy oil incentives and 185 credit should be included in whatever tax package finally passes the legislature, and would respectfully request that the House Finance Committee to consider these amendments as another tool in the toolbox should they be needed.
Thank you for reading that. I was under the impression from what you said that the amendments were to be included if we passed, and I thought what we said last meeting was that this was kind of a plan B, and what we were trying to do with this bill was to at least have a progressivity legislation that would pass out of the House in case the other bill didn't pass. And so I was thinking that these amendments would only be used if this progressivity bill passes as a standalone bill. But the way the letter is drafted, it sounds like we would like those put in regardless of whatever form the legislation takes. And I don't know that we can do that since we don't know what the other legislation would be. I thought we were considering the main bill itself as a standalone bill, And so if we do that and that's our premise, then we should only say that these amendments would be included if we only pass the main bill, the progressivity bill, and nothing else. Am I wrong in what I'm thinking we're doing here?
No, I think that that's the effect of what we're doing. If you want the language clarified, that's
yeah. I think that we you might since you have it in front of you,
Drumberg,
members, you might want to be sure that in that cover letter we say that what I've just said, that the amendments would go onto this bill if this is the only thing that passes.
And Representative Grunberg, it says, however, the amendments are being passed along with HB 3005 in the event a more complete PPT package does not appear likely to emerge this session.
Oh, okay. Well, fine, as long as it's clear, then. That's okay.
Okay. Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions on this? Yes, Representative Gatto.
Thanks. Again, I hope I'm not kind of saying the same thing that's already been said, but if indeed a PPT passes with progressivity in it, that's different than this progressivity. Is there a conflict that says this one will yield to the passage of the bill with a different progressivity?
Representative Gatto, this is going to House Finance, and they'll be hopefully putting together a package bill, and whether they incorporate our figures or their figures or net or gross will be dependent upon Finance Committee. So this bill, of course, won't pass unless it passes House Finance, and if it does, I'm sure that they're going to have comments to make on it. But at least it gives them, as they've been in the, you know, trying to coordinate all the pieces, the idea of this is that we were able to go together and at least to get a standalone bill without having to try and pull it together at the last minute and pull things out to get something we could do.
Okay.
Representative Gatto?
What I was thinking was, let's just make a scenario that says we don't pass a PPT this session, but we do pass this bill, and we pass a PPT in the next session or special session or whenever it occurs. Then we would have to have a repealer in the bill that we pass on this. Or do we have something in here that says, hey, we don't need a repealer because this will disappear or be negated in the event that a bill with a PPT passes? And I know that complicates it somewhat. I just didn't know if that was in there.
Representative Gatto, I think that every time we consider legislation, we are deleting the sections that go before us. And modifying those, so that's our normal process. So I don't think we need to put anything in. Is that
accepted? That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any other comments? Did I have a motion to send the amendments with the cover letter?
And I'll make a motion that we forward to the Finance Committee the House Bill 3005 with amendments G2, G3, and a cover letter for consideration.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that? Seeing none, that motion will pass. We do have with us one other item that I forgot to mention, and that is we have a analysis from Legal Affairs. Remember last time there was something brought up about the, I think Representative Grunberg brought it up, about may apply retroactively in the Department of Revenue instructions. And we have a memorandum from Donald Bullock talking about how that works within regulations and that this is the normal way they do it. Mm-hmm. And so if anybody has any questions about that legal opinion, we could probably.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
Yes, since I'm laboring under some disadvantage here, and I don't recall if I did say that, what I said. What does Mr. Bullock say? What is the provision of the bill we're looking at? And if you could at least refresh my recollection. I don't think I have a question, but I'd just like to be sure.
It was notwithstanding any contrary provision of AS 4462-240.
Oh, yeah, I don't have anything further. No. Okay. I thought that we had discussed that I am, after having read that section, I'm very comfortable with the way it's written.
Okay, thank you. And we had just gotten a legal opinion on that, so I just distributed it for anybody that wanted it, and it confirms.
I think it's important that we have that in there because of that other statute. And if anybody else has a question, I'm happy to at least try to explain it from memory, or it can either be just simply, you can turn around and just read the statute into the record if anybody really has a question. It sounded like nobody really did, though.
No, I don't think so. I just wanted to let everybody know that the legal opinion was there and on their desk and conformed to what we had talked about the last time. Are there any other questions, any amendments? Do you have another memorandum from... It said from House State Affairs it was questions on PPT?
Yeah, we have that.
Somehow my packet didn't have it. I'd like to go over that just because there have been some questions, and one of them was, does progressivity take away all the upside? And, you know, the question is no, especially in conjunction with this tax, because ELF will... reduce in 2006 the 15% gross production tax to zero in all but 9 fields in Alaska. And this bill at 3.5% per $10 will only raise $7 at a $70 a month average price. And so that's less than half of the economic limit factor that we've given away. We have in our bills established ELF to say, gee, on these small fields and all, at small volumes and everything else, we might need to help you make these economic. And there's nobody that argues that over $50 and surely over $70, a portion, at least half of the production tax, could be paid. And if you look at that, at this bill with 0.35% progressivity, we have to reach a value of $92 a barrel average monthly price just to recover the amount that we have given away in the production tax by ELF. ELF took on most fields in Alaska the production tax from 15% on the gross value of production to zero. So to recover that 15% and just get the normal production tax, the average monthly price has to be something that we've never seen. And so the question is, are we taking away all the upside? And I think the answer is clear that we are not. However, it, you know, just to make sure that everybody understands, we are not repealing ELF, and we're not even trying to do a recovery of ELF in this tax. That's why it combines with the 15%. And then the other question was, what's the purpose of a House Bill 3005? And that was what we talked about before. It's not meant to replace a comprehensive tax package, but to be a backup. And all it is this bill would reap some of the additional value created at high oil prices that were not anticipated in the development of the original production tax or of ELF. And so, does anybody have any questions about those? Okay. Do I have a motion on the bill? Or is there further committee discussion on the bill? House Bill 3005.
I think we moved that the bill be forwarded with amendments.
We made a motion that the amendments go with the bill. We haven't moved the bill.
Oh, I see. So that would be up to me then. Hey, Mr. Chairman, I'll move.
Everybody's looking at it.
House Bill 3005 as amended with individual recommendations and attached.
We didn't. Representative Gatto, I don't believe we amended the bill. We sent the amendments to finance, but not adopted.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Gatto, Gruenberg.
I'm sorry, the other phone rang. I was trying to get the material that I didn't get here. Just a question. We're not dealing with the repeal of the L. Was there anything that would be beneficial that we should say in the letter or anywhere else that we also recommend that if they can't pass anything else, at least they repeal the L or do something with the L?
Representative Gruenberg, that's beyond the scope of what this bill's presenting. This bill is presenting just progressivity element, just recovering some value at high oil prices.
Well, my question is, should we maybe go beyond that, at least in our cover letter?
I see a lot of head shaking no here.
Okay.
Representative Gruenberg, did you have any further comments before we...
No. Fine if that, you know, that was just a question.
Representative Goddard, did you have a motion?
So I will say that move HB 3005 with... are there fiscal notes?
Yes, there is a fiscal note and accompanying information.
And fiscal notes, accompanying information with individual recommendations.
Thank you, Representative Gatto. Are there any objections? Seeing no objections, we will pass 3005 from committee with individual recommendations.
Mr. Chair.
I thank the committee for their attention. Representative Gruenberg.
Although I can't vote, I'd like the record to reflect that my comments on the report sheet would have been a no recommendation.
I believe the record can reflect that. Okay, very good. And I forgot to bring the bill down here. It's in my desk. That's the problem with not having staff.
Louis's not here.
Yes, Louis's not here. Louis, if you're listening on the phone, and I'm sure you are, you're missed. Are there any other comments or anything else to come before the committee?
Bonnie can help you out if there's...
Okay, appreciate everybody's attention, and we will be adjourned, and I'll bring the bill back for signing. I'll bring it back to have everybody sign it.